Okay, good morning. First, just want to mention that I'd like to dedicate today's shiur L'Zecha Nishmas of my aunt, Rebbetzin Goldie Findel, Allah Shalom, who passed away in Rosh Hashanah and whose Levaya was today in Eretz Yisrael. She's a tremendous influence on my family and a tremendous hashpa on many, many people. She was a real tzadekes, a woman of chesed, a woman of kindness, and a woman of concern, who had a perfect partnership with my uncle, Yibad al-Lachayim, Rabbi Meir Findel, and bringing Torah to many, many people in Long Island, in West Hempstead, in Eretz Yisrael, and many other places. And we wish the entire family continued chizik and nechama this week as they begin the shiva and this shir. And the shiur this week should be with Ili Nishmasa. I thought we'd talk a little bit about tshuva and one very important consideration in tshuva, and that is the question of, is it possible to go halfway? Is it possible to have a partial fulfillment in the mitzvah of tshuva? Which is a very important question. Maybe one of the most important questions in the laws of tshuva, because if we have an obligation, we have a mitzvah of tshuva, that's a mitzvah all year round, but it's a crucial theme, especially as we approach Yom Kippur, as we go through the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So then we have to figure out what exactly is necessary to accomplish that, and we might find that it's quite a bit. We might find that it's pretty absolute. And if that's the case, so then what happens if we fall short? And if that's very likely to be the case, so is there any fulfillment at all in going part of the way? Is there any accomplishment in a partial tshuva when it may be the case that what tshuva seems to ask for is very, very extreme, very absolute perhaps, and what's left for us imperfect people? When we know that we're unlikely to make a complete and perfect change in the next few days, and we know that next year's Yom Kippur is already scheduled, and we know that we plan on still having issues to deal with in the future, and we can't say that we're sure everything is going to be completely addressed, so what do we do? So to try to look at that point a little bit, when we talk about a partial or a complete fulfillment of tshuva, can mean that in two ways. First of all, one, does Yom Kippur require us to address everything? Which it sounds like it does. The Pasuk in Parshas Emor says that concerning Yom Kippur, Mikol Chatoseichem, that we have to purify ourselves, we have to seek Tara for all of our Averos. And that's one way in which we have to ask, what if we can't do everything? What if we're a little bit short? But I want to focus on just a part of that, and the question is, as far as any specific Avera is concerned, so what happens if we're not able to completely turn it off? What if there's something that we've done wrong in the past, and we'd like to say that we're never going to do it again, but who knows? We're human, and it's happened more than once, and maybe it's going to happen more than once in the future, and does that mean that any tshuva that we're going to try to do is really going to be incomplete? And if so, what good is an incomplete tshuva? So if you look at the Rambam is pretty scary on this front, because the Rambam, this is in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, so the Rambam writes, Mahi ha-tshuva? What is tshuva? Hu she'yazov ha-chotei cheto. A person has to abandon his avera. He has to walk away from the sin. The asiru imachshavto, he has to take it away from his thoughts. The yigmor belibo shelo yaseiwo, and he has to commit in his heart that he's not going to do it again. Shenamar yazov rasha darko. That the pasuk in Shayo says that the rasha must leave his path. And then he goes on to talk about the idea of regret, it's another idea, skip that for a second. In the end of this halacha, he says something else which seems pretty strong. And there has to be testimony on him from the one who knows the secrets. Who's the Yodea Talumos? Ribbono Shlolem, right, the one who knows all the secrets, should testify about him, Shlo Yoshuv Lazeh HaChet Li'olam, that he's never going to go back to this Avera forever. And he continues to bring Pesukim for that. So that's very extreme, right? You need the best character witness ever to come and say that is it forever. You're never going to go back. And then to continue now to Halacha Gimel, Kol HaMizvada B'Dvarim, if you do vidui with words, V'lo Gomar B'Libo La'azov, and you have not committed in your heart to abandon the Avera, what is that like? Hareze Dome L'Tovel V'Sheretz B'Yado. That's like somebody who has touched the Sheretz, and who wants to attain purity from that tumah, so he goes to the mikveh. But what does he do wrong? He's got the sheretz in his hand when he goes to the mikveh. So how is that going to accomplish anything? She'ena tefilas mo'elas lo ad she'yashlech ha'sheretz. That tefilah is not going to accomplish anything until he gets rid of the sheretz. B'cheinu omer modav ozev yurcham. And that's also the inyan that we find, that one has to have an azivah in order for his tshuva to accomplish anything. So, if you read the words of the Rambam, you find that not only is there an obligation of azivah sachet, but it's pretty intense and it's pretty absolute. And it seems like, if we're not going to do that, then how can we call anything that we accomplish, that we try to accomplish over these next few days, how can we call that tshuva? And if you look in Rabbeinu Yonah also, Rabbeinu Yonah in Shara Aleph, in Os Mem Tes, he talks about the ikur of Azivas HaChet as well. By him, it's number 19. He has a lot of different components broken down into many different parts. But there, Rabbeinu Yonah makes it clear as well that part of what tshuva requires is the idea of aziva sachet. So, what does that mean for us imperfect people? Right? If we know that we try, we make efforts, but we're not able to completely change ourselves 100% so far, and completely abandon all our mistakes so that they never recur. So does that mean that our tshuva is a joke? Does that mean that our tshuva is completely worthless? Again, without even addressing the idea of mikol chatasechem, without even addressing the question of have we addressed every single problem, but even taking one problem at a time. So is it not worth trying if we're not absolutely on board with making sure it never ever happens again? It's a pretty scary idea. So you look in the Mabit lived a little bit later, in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mabit in the Sefer Beis Elokim, I think it's in Perek Yudalet. So the Mabit has a little bit of a softer presentation. And the Mabit has provided a lot of chizuk to a lot of people. It's provided a lot of comfort to a lot of people. Because the Mabit says that yes, it's true that tshuva requires, ideally, charata and aziva sachet, but it's not necessarily the case that it's nothing unless you have the whole package. It says tshuva is not like other mitzvos. So you have a mitzvah, he gives the example, you have a mitzvah of tzitzis. So tzitzis requires you to have four tzitzios on the four corners of your garment. So let's say you only have three. You have four-cornered garment, and on three of them you put tzitzis. So we don't say, okay, you get 75% schar. Right? We don't say that's three-quarters of a mitzvah. We say that's zero of a mitzvah. The mitzvah requires that you put four tzitzios on the four corners. So should we say that that's the model here? He says no. When it comes to tshuva, it's different. Tshuva, we do have a goal of a certain package, but to do this without that, this little bit, that's still something. And he proves his point by bringing various stories from Tanakh and elsewhere where you find that people were threatened with a certain onesh if they don't do tshuva, and they're able to avert the onesh, but the tshuva doesn't seem to be complete based on the standards that we see for tshuva. So what can you glean from there? Says in that bit that apparently tshuva is worth something if you go a certain distance, even if you don't go all the distance, but you do part of it, you do something, it's still worth something. And it's not like tzitzis or other such mitzvahs where we would compare it to having three corners with tzitzis on them. Here, this is something, this is significant, and in the cases that he brings, apparently it was enough to do the job. It was enough to avert whatever decree was upon them. So that's good, okay? But do we have the option of just posking like the Mabitz? So can we say, okay, he's my posek here, and that'll do it for me? Especially, we're not talking about the usual type of psak halacha. We're talking about, we want to know what works in Shamayim. So we need to know if a Kodesh Baruch Hu pasuk is like the Mabit or not. Right? So it's not going to help. We're going to come up and say, look, we got this Mabit here. Guys, it's not going to work. So is that enough for us? So the truth is, I think it's possible to say that it's not as much of a machlokas as it sounds like. And that really, despite the fact that we have these very strong statements in the Rambam, and that Azivas Achet is recognized by others as well, like Rabbeinu Yonah, as a condition of tshuva, that it's possible to say that there are spaces in between, that there are stops along the way, and that those can be very useful to us, and that that's something that the Rambam and others could acknowledge as well. So just to try to construct that point a little bit. So first of all, tshuva already we see what the Mabit says is correct just from a lumdisha perspective, that it's clear that tshuva is not the same as tzitzis or other mitzvos that one might compare it to, where there are a couple of parts that have to add up. It's true, it's clearly the case, it seems to be clearly the case, that tshuva is a composite idea that is very complex and has many different aspects to it, and they interact in a complicated way, and that it makes sense to say that there is value to parts without the other, and that there's value to a partial journey. And it's just interesting, this may make it better, may make it worse, but just helps to kind of highlight this point. Talk about, for example, Azivas Achet. So there is an interesting comment by Rabbi Itzel Petterberger, Rabbi Itzel Glaser, who was one of the three top students of Bishol Salanter, maybe even among the three. He was perhaps the biggest Talmud of Bishol Salanter. He has an observation, which is very interesting. You know, the Rambam, at the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam has a comment that everybody gets all excited about. The Rambam says, "Kol mitzvah shel Torah ben aseh malosa aseh, ma'avar ad malachtem ben bzom ben shkaga, ki sheyaseh tshuva, v'yashuv nechato chayav lehizvados." So here it sounds like the Rambam is saying that what's the real mitzvah when it comes to tshuva? Vidui. And everyone says, what? What about everything else? And why is the Rambam focusing on that? Is it that's the one mitzvah? That's what tshuva is? So there are a number of interpretations. Rav Soloveitchik discussed this, and Chassinov discussed this. This was a big topic of discussion. Rav Itzel Petterberger suggested in a very interesting way that let's take for granted that there really are three components to tshuva, that there is charata, the regret, and the vidui, the acknowledgement, and the kabbalah of ha'asid, that you're not going to do the aveira again. There's only one of those can really be called the mitzvah of tshuva, a mitzvah that tshuva obligates you to do as a conscious fulfillment of its command. Because charata, that's not really a mitzvah of tshuva. Charata is an emotional reaction, which is natural and should be there if you at all recognize what's going on in the world. Then you should instinctively have a charata. That's perhaps part of the whole equation here, but it's not something, okay, because the mitzvah of tshuva and parshas nitzavim, so then I'm going to now decide to regret it. That's not how it plays out. And points out perhaps even more strongly, azivas achet, you can't say that's something you do because of tshuva. Because if we're talking about achet, right, so what do we mean? You're not allowed to do it in the first place. Right? So you're not allowed to do it next month because it's aser. Not because, oh, I'm doing tshuva, so because of my self-improvement plan, I'm not allowed to do this aveira anymore. You weren't allowed to do the aveira in the first place. So azivas achet would have been necessary no matter what. Not sinning is an obligation anyway. So azivas achet is not a mitzvah that you do because you're trying to do tshuva. It's something which is relevant to tshuva. It's a part of the whole puzzle here.
But if we're trying to figure out what a mitzvah of tshuva is, so it says if it's lepetberg, it's not going to be charat, that it's not going to be azifas achet either. So that leaves you with vidui, the Rambam's focusing here, because that's the one action we can say that if the Torah commands us to do tshuva, what is it that we have to do? We have to do the vidui. But the other components, which are relevant, are not the mitzvah. So how does that help us here? It just helps us to be able to say that Ziva Sachet, yes, that's something that we're very concerned about, like Shai Navi said, Yazav Rosh Darko, but it's not necessarily what tshuva is. It's something that we need to have together with the process of tshuva. Hi.
What about the Kabbalah?
So we have to figure out if they're the same thing or not. That's also, the Rambam conflates the two, which is also interesting, and we'll come back to that, God willing, in a few minutes. Hi.
But I feel like you're still up to the same issue that you haven't really.
Well, we still need a zivus achet. We just need to figure out what role it plays in the whole process. So here it gets interesting also, just to try to isolate a little bit more. So the Rambam, before we skipped the halacha aleph from the Perek Beis, so the Rambam makes a statement based on the Gemara. That the Gemara in the end of Yuma, the eighth Perek of Yuma, the Gemara says that what is tshuva? So tshuva, the Gemara there says, also isha also makam. In the same circumstance, and you avoid the avera this time, and it's not because you're not interested anymore, it's not because you're too weak, it's not because somebody's watching you this time, but yeah, everything else is the same, and you're able to avoid it, so that's tshuva gemura. So the way the Rambam has it is that tshuva gemura, Zesha Baliado Davar Sha'avarbo, the Efshir Biado Laso, so Piresh Vlaasa Mipneha Tshuva. Right, so the situation comes up again, and he doesn't do it because of Tshuva. Lo Miyiro, Vlo Mikishan Kala, not because somebody's watching him, and not because he's too weak, but because of Tshuva, Kate, Zeresha Baal, Isha Bavero, Achaz Vandas Yachidima, Vu Ome Bahavasoba, Vukoch Gufo, Vadirish Avarba, the Piresh Vlaavar Zehu Baal Tshuva Gemura. That's a real Baal Tshuva. Hello? Hi, sorry.
When we say Mipnei HaTshuva, then what does it mean if, let's say, you're able to distance yourself from that act, that we might say, you've been in that situation before, and now you decide not to repeat it, does that mean that you can do, can you do it and not necessarily be part of the Tshuva process? Like, you don't have to, so have that Kabbalah that, oh, I'm doing Tshuva, just that totally aside, just realize that, that's not there.
So, it's interesting on a lot of levels, trying to figure out what exactly he's pulling out here. We'd recommend avoiding averus for all kinds of reasons, right? So certainly want to avoid averus totally for a lot of different perspectives. It's interesting the way the Rambam is putting all of these aspects into it, and it provokes the question of what exactly is he trying to extract from here. And it's also interesting that Rabbi Yonah seems to say it a little differently, in ways that's a little more surprising, actually, in that same statement we mentioned before in Shaar Tshuva, where he quotes this idea as part of Aziva Sachet. Some of the Achronim talk about this, Rabbi Olbaum, for example, has a Sefer Minchas Chayim on Hilchos Tshuva, where he has a little bit of an essay over here about this. And he raises the question, is this idea that Tshuva is reflected in avoiding it time number two, is that a simon or a siva, as we say? Is that the simon that tshuva has actually taken place? And now we can just prove it, but that's not tshuva itself, which he suggests what the Rambam is really saying. Or is that actually a part of the process of tshuva? Because Rabbeinu Yonah has it in an interesting way. Rabbeinu Yonah says that this would be tshuva if he's in the situation again. And if he doesn't have the situation again, so then he should add in a little bit every day, Sevira Shemayim, however he does that, he should try to increase his Sevira Shemayim gradually. And then eventually, when he finds the situation again, he'll be able to overcome it. The language is a little striking, because we don't invite Nisayon on a lot of different levels, so it sounds like a little bit like that's what he's advocating in order to accomplish tshuva, which is something that we have to figure out independently. But it sounds like he's saying that's a part of the tshuva process, that kind of making sure that you have built up such a fortitude that you're not going to do it again through the training and the testing. That's an act of tshuva. So either way, we have to figure out exactly where it fits. But it sounds like this is a part of a self-improvement process that we do that accompanies the whole tshuva process, and that it could be to different degrees. And here the Rambam also, when he has his formulation, you see it in different degrees. So he writes, for example, let's say you don't have all these circumstances. The Rambam continues to say, let's say the only time this situation comes up is when it's really not shy for you to do the Aveira anymore. It's not as impressive. Okay, he's still a Baal Tshuva. He's still accomplished something. So you see that the Rambam is acknowledging there are degrees. So this is a way of accomplishing it in the most impressive fashion. But everything that you do to try to address it is taking you somewhere. And in that spirit, I think that's also what he means when his apparently most absolute statement, Yoid Olav Yodea Talumos, you need to have the one who knows all secrets testify that it's never going to happen again. So that sounds the most extreme, right? That you have to, the only way you're going to be considered a Baal Tshuva is if you're never going to do this again from now until 120, and you got to schlep a Kodesh Baruch Hu into his Bezdin and have him testify. Maybe it's a Shaila of Ain't Dayin Nasa'eib. But it's also good. Other way around, really, eight nice attack. This is a dying nice egg. But you have to have a Kodesh Baruch Hu say in front of himself that you're never going to go back to it. So that sounds so extreme. So is it really the case that if you schwitz on Yom Kippur, you do everything you possibly can, and 50 years from now, there's a Nisoyin that you just can't overcome, so everything you're going to do next week is worthless? Is that really the case? So presumably what the Rambam means when he says Yodea Talumos doesn't mean the one who knows the secrets, i.e. the one who knows the future. But the idea of the Yodea Talumos here, what's that really a reference to? What secrets does the Kadosh Baruch Hu know? Yes, the future, but that's not what we're actually focused on here. What does he know that secret? He knows if you're sincere. He knows what's inside of you. He knows what's inside your head. He knows what's inside your soul. So he knows, has there been a process here or has there not been a process? So if there's been a process and that process has been meaningful, so you're not going to be the same person after Yom Kippur as you were before. So then that's okay. That's something that's significant. And if 50 years from now or 5 years from now or 5 months from now there's another Nisayon, and you stumble, then okay, that's something separate. But the Yodea Talumos has to represent today that there's been a process so that you are different now. And the way you were yesterday, when you stumbled, that's been addressed. And you stumble again next month, okay, but that's a new Nisayon. The Yodea Talumos is interested in what is inside of you right now. Maybe other people can't see. But he can see, has there been an internal process?
The person who's really sincere, and then he stumbles on the same design, mm-hmm. Is that a reflection that his sincerity wasn't complete? Or that just he can stumble on the same design?
Yeah, it could be that it's still a very powerful design, or it could be that there was more work that he didn't fully appreciate. It doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't sincere. And the question is also, and this is part, I think, of halishui, how you measure the same design. Just the same circumstances doesn't make it the same design. It could be that you did a lot to address where you were then, and now it's simply coming at you with greater intensity, or there was more work to do, but it's still not the same design.
That's the reason.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it's not the same circuit, even if everything outside is the same. But you have tried to create a different mindset on the inside. So even if the math still doesn't work for you, even if you still end up with the same conclusion, but that's still something different. And just to extend this point a little bit, so what about this point of Tovil v'sheretz biyado? Right, so the mashal of Tovil v'sheretz biyado, think about it for a second, it's interesting. Does the mashal sound so perfect? Right, the Rambam says, oh, if you do tshuva on Yom Kippur and you have not committed to never do this aveira again, hey, you know what that's like? That's like a person who goes to the mikveh and holds the chariots in his hand. Does the muscle match exactly? Jacob, why do you think not?
The chariots in general is that you're still constantly sinning.
Oh, right. Doesn't it sound like a better muscle would be? Like, if you have, you touched the chariots, and you stopped, you put it down, and then you went to the mikveh, but you went to the mikveh without saying you're never going to touch the chariots again. Oh, that might work. I don't know. Right? That should work, right? So the Gemara in Tainus and Daf Tazayin about Tovel the Sharetz Biyado, so it's interesting, you could interpret it differently. And Rashi, in fact, interprets it differently. Now, some Rishonim may interpret it on the other side of the Rambam, which is a different story, but Rashi interprets it over there as Gezel. So, I mean, how Rashi describes the example is Gezel. You have Gezel and you haven't given back the money. So then a later Svarim asks, why Gezel? That's the only Avera you could think of. That's the automatic example of an Avera is Gezel. So the assumption is that Rashi needs an example like Gezel specifically. Why? Because, like Jacob said, you need an Avera that is somehow ongoing. So if I stole money and I haven't given it back yet, okay, so I'm still in the middle of that Avera, so to speak. But most other Averos won't be such great examples because it won't be Sharetz Biyado. I need the Avera to be Biyado. So Gezel, okay, that perhaps works. I'm in the process still. I still have the stolen money. So it sounds like the Mashal, the way Rashi is understanding it, is that you are continuing to sin while you go in the mikveh. And that fits a little more neatly the idea of Tovel B'Sharetz Biyado. So the Rambam here is, as I mentioned before, the Jed is kind of conflating two ideas which could have been distinct. Right? Azivas HaChet and Kabbalah HaAsid are not obviously the same idea. Azivas HaChet may simply mean stop sinning right now, put it down. And Kabbalah HaAsid, say you'll never do it again, it's a different story. And the Chovos HaLevavos, for example, these are two separate Ikarim. One idea to be Ozev Sechet, another idea to be Makabal Alas. So the Rambam say them both in the same idea. It's not so obvious. So how is the Rambam understanding the Mashal? So I think you have to say, and there's a little bit of a discussion, we'll take a brisker stand, I think of Chaim in the stencils has like this to say that. Mikvah is not Matar at all, or it's Matar, but it's immediately undone, so it's as if it doesn't do anything. So completely useless, or is it just constantly undone? However you look at it, you know, what exactly is the Rambam seeing in this muscle to get to the conclusion he does? Presumably what he's saying is that there's a way when you do an Avera tomorrow that it's still connected to the Avera you did yesterday. That whatever it was that brought you to that Avera yesterday, it's still in you in such a way that you're still doing it tomorrow, so that's all one thing. That's all Sheretz Biyado. So what is the Rambam asking here? He says, you have to address that. Now, if next week it happens again, okay, so then you picked up the Sheretz again. But you need to try to change something internally so that it's not Biyado at the moment. I think that's essentially what he's getting at. Now, with all that, so now let's consider, a hill of a little synergy to our parsha here, let's consider what do we mean by chet, what do we mean by Avera in general. So do we mean Avera really just as a checklist? Okay, we have 613 mitzvahs, 613 do's and don'ts. So okay, so that each one equals one. So okay, Mechal Shabbos, that's one Avera. So the truth of Mechal Shabbos means to address that fully. Or is it really more general in the impact of all these things, which is essentially a richuk from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Now, if we think about our parashas, remember at the very end of the parasha that we saw on Thursday, the very end of Ha'azinu, so Moshe Rabbeinu was told that he's in trouble, he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael because of Ma'altembi, the act of offense that he did. Was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, right? We mentioned that it's a big discussion in the Mefarshim trying to figure out exactly what he did wrong. In
and that they come up with 10 theories, 13 theories, all kinds of different theories trying to identify what he did wrong. So you say, well, what do you mean? We have a list, 613 minutes, just line it up. So we understand that very often we talk about the cheshbon that we ultimately have to give. We are talking about an act of richuk, an act of distancing yourself from the Ribbono Shel Olam, being in a state of separation, as the Rambam also talks about. And tshuva is trying to bridge that gap. So for somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, it'll be something so subtle that we can't even perceive, and it's not from our list of 613. And for us, it'll be even within the 613, a matter of degree. So we've created a certain distance, we've created a gap each to our own madriga, and we need to try to address that somehow. And to whatever extent we're addressing that, we are making a difference. So then we're not the same person inside, it's not the same sheretz, it's not going to be a contradiction to what the Yodea Talumos can see within us. And that is all part of the process of what tshuva asks from us. And we do see that even the Rabbeinu Yonah, again, with the recommendation, with the requirement, rather, of Aziva Sachet, he still recognizes also that there are madrigos to tshuva, that tshuva exists on many different levels. And it's different, apparently, from every other mitzvah, that we don't say that, okay, you could do it at a level 1, do it on a level 2, do it on a level 10, but tshuva is unique in its nature, that it exists at different points and at different degrees, and it's our job to do as much as we can. And Rav Pam had a comment to the Pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, where the Pasuk says, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos lo nefleisi, and according to the Rishonim there, the mitzvah, the Ramban and others write, the mitzvah is the mitzvah of tshuva. Right, so kikaru vilecha hadavar ma'od. Says the Pam, kikaru vilecha, it means it's always got to be karuv to you. You start off with something that is near to you. Take that which is, so to speak, the low-lying fruit. Take that which is accessible and available. Start working with that, and that's that first step towards tshuva, and that's something. And then you'll see where you can go. Then you'll see what you can do. It's interesting that the Rav Volba, in one of his essays in the Sefer, is called Shari Meherachimim, something like that. So Rav Volba has a discussion there. He says, people think that Azivus Achet is impossible, so why do they even bother? You know, they know that after Yom Kippur, they're still going to be doing the same thing, so why even try? He says, that's a terrible attitude. Not such a surprise. He says, that's not the way to think. And he says a couple of reasons there why one shouldn't assume that's true. He says, first of all, you never know what you're capable of. You may find that you can surprise yourself. You may find that you're going to say, made a decision, I'm not going to go down that path anymore. You may find that Taka are able to. In all areas of life, people find to be the case when they say, all right, you know, I've hit the point where I'm not doing that anymore. Indeed, all of a sudden, they never thought it was possible, and here it is possible. That's one point he makes. Second point he makes is especially together with charata, together with the whole proper depth of regret over what this behavior has done for you. So that also could have a surprising impact. That also, you may find that that's something which really does help you stay on a certain straight and narrow path. And especially importantly, he says that we also know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu helps, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Misayeya. So even if it seems like this is incredibly daunting, this is impossible, to be able to stick on this path, it just doesn't seem like it's in the realm of what you can do. But you may find that once you take the first few steps down that path, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you, and that all of a sudden what you thought was never possible actually is possible. And in that spirit, I saw an interesting discussion in a sefer called Uri V'Ishi. That's a pasuk that we apply to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but sefer actually was not only about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's a volume on Chumash, and there's a volume on all the Mo'adim, so it happens to be this is about Yom Kippur, but the whole sefer is about everything. But he discusses there that it's very striking that when we talk about Kabbalah Lost in our Yom Kippur davening, it's phrased as a tefillah. It's phrased as we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us that we should not return to this behavior. So if it's really a requirement of tshuva, so what's the tefillah? Let's just say, I obligate myself herein, I'm never going to do this again. Why do we phrase this as if, God, it's up to you? Well, this is something we talked about that a little bit again. Little synergy, we spoke about that a little bit, about the role of tefillah and fulfilling the idea of a kol b'day shemayim fits me'ir shemayim. So if it's up to you, where does tefillah fit in? Tefillah on behalf of others, tefillah on behalf of yourself is an act of spirituality. So where exactly does that fit in if there's supposed to be an obligation of azifa sachet? And he suggests here that we recognize that circumstances may indeed be outside our control, that we are not able to completely dictate what challenges we're going to face. And sometimes there is such a thing as onus. Sometimes circumstances may be overwhelming and who knows what's going to happen. So from both angles, we need to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us. And to recognize that that is our doing our part here also. So yes, the Azifa Sachet is a crucial aspect of what tshuva is, but we do so through all the internal efforts that contribute to the picture to any degree. And we recognize that we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be our helper here and to make sure that that can happen. And that's also a crucial part of the process. So hopefully we should be able to take chizik from all of that, that karav elecha hadaver, that it is within our hands, it is possible. And to recognize that, yes, there is a high goal that we are looking for, but it's not unattainable, and that maybe it's going to take us a little while, it's going to take us step by step, but each step along the way is valuable, and that's what we're asked to do during these days. So just a quickly, Chaz, we spoke about this question of whether a partial tshuva makes sense when we consider the fact that, on the one hand, Yom Kippur requires mikol chatos eichem, we didn't really address that part, but the question of even within various averus, the idea that azifa sachet is so crucial in the Rambam's strong language about yodea talumos and tovel v'sharetz biyado. So we saw on the one hand the Madbit, who was softer in the Rambam, and also Ben Yoda, who assures us there is such a thing as a partial fulfillment of tshuva, but is that enough for us to rely on? So we wanted to suggest that really the Rambam and Ben Yonah really are on the same page with this and recognize that as well, and we address that through a couple of components. First of all, that azifa sachet may simply be important, but a completely different track, something that is necessary in of itself and doesn't necessarily come to define tshuva, as we saw from Bitzel Petterberger, and therefore how exactly do we incorporate into the process? We saw the ultimate Baal Tshuva is one who is in the same circumstance and doesn't do it again, but discussion whether that is just a reflection of what's happened or is that a part of the process, is there a Midiona rights that could also be replaced by adding Yerushalayim and the like. And then we talked also about the question of what is Yodea Talumas. Presumably it doesn't mean the God who knows the future, but the God who knows what's going on now, the God who knows what's in your head and in your soul, and to what extent has there been a process. And we talked about, therefore, we understand the idea of Tovel B'Sharetz Biyado, the Rambam's application where he conflates Azifa Sachet and Kabbalah La'asid, unlike the Chovas Al-Vavas, so as those two separate ideas, the Rambam combines the two. It's not such an obvious application of this mashal of Tovel B'Sharetz Biyado. In fact, Rashi in Tainus reads it as referring to something like Gezel, which is ongoing. So we understood with the Rambam that it means that if the Aveira happens tomorrow, it could be that this is all the same instinct that was there yesterday when you were still holding on to the same thing. It's still the same sherets, so to speak. So our job is to make sure it's not the same sherets, to make sure to put down the sherets. And if it happens again tomorrow, okay, that's a new challenge, but that there has been the internal process to try to address that. And then we talked about the question of what is tshuva asked from us. Is it really specific to an aveira, like in a checklist, or is it about the whole idea of a richut from God's mission? We looked at our parsha of Hazinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu is taken to task for something which doesn't even appear to us to be anything on the list, and how the inverse is also true, that even within the averis that we have identified, there are all kinds of different levels of richut that is created, and it's our job to try to address that to whatever degree we can. As Rav Ben Yonah also writes, that there are levels to tshuva. I would mention Rav Pam's point about kikar v'ilach. We take that which is close to us. And then we mentioned a little bit how Rav Volbe says that we want to shoot for the moon, we want to try to accomplish everything, and we shouldn't say that it's impossible. And he had these 3 points, one that we're capable of more than we think, two that Charata has a big role in making that possible, three that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us, and then we mentioned this point from the Ariv Yishri about how we find Azivas HaChet and our Seder HaTfila more as a Tfila than as a Hischaivas, and that represents the fact that we're trying to put ourselves in a position where we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will indeed help us, and that's very much fulfilling what we're asked to do during these days, to take as steps to the extent that we can and hope that that will at least take us further along our journey to the ultimate type of tshuva that we're hoping to accomplish. All right, to wish everyone a wonderful day, a meaningful fast.
All right, thank you.